Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. The title of this column is Management, Sex, and Mayhem, Part 1. And here's what Jim Thompson has to say about that. Several months ago, Helen Rausch, our executive vice president, suggested we do a series on male-female harassment issues in the workplace. I agreed and further agreed we would do it in September, our editorial calendar month reserved for management issues. As a warning, these columns may be R-rated in places, but since we attract an adult audience, this should not be a problem. We'll have 4 weeks to cover this topic starting right now. Sex and mayhem is likely redundant, for in my 48-plus years experience in the workplace, sex, every use of the word in the workplace, usually leads to mayhem. However, it's a good catchy title, so let's stick with it. I want to start with a couple of issues this week that I consider absolutely basic and foundational to this subject. You may disagree with me, and that is your right. However, at least you will know my background thinking, and disagree or not, I hope you will see a connection between my background thinking and what we might say here. Let's jump right in. First, we're going to confine these columns to the traditional two sexes, male and female. I admit not knowing enough about contemporary gender identities to go beyond this. Further, I contend if we can make any progress as an industry from four simple columns confined to these two roles, we will have done yeoman's. Second, I view the sexes as equal but not the same. I'll repeat that. I view the sexes as equal but not the same. I'll confirm the veracity of this statement with an engineering example. You are a young project engineer assigned to design and install a 3/4-inch galvanized potable water line lengthwise through the basement of your mill. Such piping is commonly of screw joints construction. The pipe lengths are typically 20 feet and have male threads cut in each end. They are connected by couplings which have female threads cut in each end. The sequence is pipe length, coupling, you get the idea. One component in this system is clearly male and one component is clearly female, but they are not the same. In fact, if you order the system components all the same, that is, all pipe lengths or all couplings, you will find that you have a disaster on your hands, maybe mayhem. Clearly, the male and female components are both vitally important and both equally needed. Male and female are equally important, that is, equal, yet clearly different. They are not the same. Likewise, it is correct to treat male and female humans as equal, but in the same breath, recognize they are not the same. My experience with harassment goes back to my first position. I started to work in industry in March 1970. To understand the era of that time and hence from where I came as I start this, the military officers from the World War II era were in their early to mid-50s and were our bosses. Bosses were all men, and they were tough. Foul language was the order of the day. I heard the name Jesus Christ exclaimed more at work than in church. What does that have to do with sex in the workplace? Nothing except to convey the coarseness of the office environment then. The jokes were lewd and the cartoons passed around as photocopies were lewder. Industrial magazines were using nearly naked women models to sell their products. The little company where I worked had an old-fashioned plug-in switchboard and private PBX with an internal switchboard operator. Ask your grandparents what I'm talking about. Suffice it to say, we are not talking cell phones here. Always female, this operator was referred to her face as the switch bitch. When this tender young co-op student arrived on the scene, the current person in this role was about 40 years old, 7 months pregnant, and single. The purported father had worked in our factory and left in a hurry, never to be heard from again. So this was the 19-year-old Jim Thompson's introduction to the business world and sex therein. Ironically, my wife asked me just the other day how I got to where I am from whence I came on this subject. After all, my father was clearly a misogynist of the World War II era. When he had a malfunctioning tool in his hand, he would inevitably look at it and say, "This was obviously made to fool women and kids." I heard that dozens, if not hundreds, of times when I was a child and teenager. I'll credit Procter & Gamble's internal training for adjusting my path to fit contemporary norms. Our internal training emphasized the worth of all people and trained us in the subtleties of equality and respect for each other. I learned to use she, he in 1975. Today, subconsciously within my writings, I interchange the pronouns he and she to make sure I am not reflecting any bias. I have, since those days, used effort hours, not man hours, and I am appalled that here, 45 years later, people are still using man hours. Harassment comes in all forms, male on female, female on male, and same-sex on same-sex. We're going to dig more deeply into this in the coming weeks. My intent this week was to set the stage, and I felt strongly that I had to let you know where I have been. Your comments are welcome. For safety this week, and I'll direct this to guys, activities in a female's presence that start with "watch me do this" seldom impress and often will lead to your own trip to the emergency room. Think twice. The life, as well as the relationship you save, may be your own. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Are you facing a complex installation, expansion, greenfield project, or maintenance project? Make the smart choice. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide industrial general contractor, specializes in the pulp and paper industry. Our skilled millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of experienced project managers, architects, and engineers are safe, effective, and efficient on any project, planned or unplanned. Take the smart step toward getting your next project finished safely and done well. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan reading it for Jim. The title of this column is Management, Sex, and Mayhem, Part 2. And here's what Jim has to say about that. Harassment may or may not involve members of the opposite sex. It can be male on female, female on male, or either sex on same sex. Your coworkers engaged in harassment can have many different motives, often hard to discern. It is sometimes hard to determine if one is being harassed or not. A peer or boss challenging someone to do his or her best may do so with the best intentions. That the target is being made uncomfortable may be healthy. Or perhaps the entire scenario is based on pure, raw rage intended to destroy someone. Seldom can the targets of healthy challenges or the victims of harassment successfully determine by themselves which is occurring, unless the activities range far out on the fringes. Coming from work to the parking lot and finding your tires slashed is clearly harassment. But is the boss always challenging their people to do their best harassment? The attitude of the latter may be in the eye of the beholder. Some clues to help you out. Bosses who fail to heap praise as often as they heap challenges are likely serial harassers, perhaps with problems of their own. I worked for a CEO like this once. He had harassment down to a fine art. Over the years, I have referenced him a number of times in these columns. Yet, if he had been directly confronted, I don't think he would have seen himself as a harasser. His challenges were universal and non-discriminatory in nature. He never fired anyone, but lots of people, as I like to phrase it, ran screaming from the building. There are several tests you can perform to determine if you're being harassed. The first is the spinning the invoice printer test. Are the actions you are concerned about genuinely motivated by the goal of spinning the invoice printer where you work? If they are, it's highly unlikely they fit the category of harassment. They can be poor management and rotten practices, but they do not rise to the level of harassment. A second test is this. Are you being targeted singly, or are the actions you see and consider harassment being dished out to everyone in your coterie? If there is equal misery all around, you may have a bad coach filled with rage, but again, it may not rise to the level of harassment of you as an individual. Stated another way, harassment is usually focused on one individual and has no clear business objective. It is personal. In my experience, harassment has been more of a problem with the under 30 and under 40 crowds than it has been with older people. The under 30 crowd's experience with group activities has been their family life as they were raised, and possibly team sports. I have no experience with team sports. I was raised in a family where your personal expression took the form of teasing, received and delivered. There were no direct confrontations involving problems that needed to be solved. This background made me a terrible manager, a condition that took me until about age 35 to overcome. I know there were people who worked for me who thought I harassed them. At the time, however, if someone had confronted me, I would have been genuinely shocked at the accusation. The harassment that we must root out is that directed at an individual by another individual. As stated at the start, It may or may not involve the sexes. I once knew a person, for instance, who received anonymous letters via the Postal Service, not internal company mail, that made the vilest of accusations. They could never figure out the source. Eventually, the harasser got bored and quit sending letters. That is another key to what you have in your control. Most harassers live to see your reaction. No reaction? They move on. As a boss, it is your job to look out for serial harassers in your group. You are the first line of defense in protecting your employees from these actions. Employees who come to you feeling harassed need to be carefully interviewed and the conditions carefully examined. Again, you are the first line of defense in stopping workplace harassment. As an employee, if you should feel harassed, your boss, or in a case where your boss is the harasser, your boss's boss is your place of recourse. Sadly, if you cannot get the attention you need from these people, your most effective recourse likely is to leave. Suing, even if you can find a protected category in which you fit, will take years, has a small chance of success, and will unfairly mark you, the victim, as a difficult employee. It's not right, it's not fair, but it is reality. In a society that places great weight today on victimhood, it is appropriate that you examine your own feelings, perhaps with the help of an outside counselor or a trusted mentor. Today we hear of employees, especially in their 20s, wanting to bring their parents to their annual reviews. They may feel harassed, but I would be surprised if an impartial observer would agree with their assessment. If you are a harasser, you better hope someone else outs you before I do. Running a company is difficult enough without having to deal with people who come to work with a prime objective of harming their fellow workers instead of spinning the invoice printer. You are a waste of company resources and a distraction to our goals. Don't expect a good recommendation to be attached to the boot that ejects you from the building. Get yourself some professional help, determine and address the real source of your rage, resolve to rejoin society as a productive contributor. For safety this week, people on either side of an active harassment situation are not focused on safety. This is yet another reason to root this from your operations. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Well, it's time to start planning our annual recovery boiler outage again.
Yes, it is. Budgets are tighter than ever, even though business is good. And speaking of good business, sales is pressuring us to have as short an outage as possible. They need the production.
Well, getting in a hurry costs money and can lead to safety problems.
I know. And you know we are always under pressure for our safety record, too. It seems like corporate has nothing better to do than to keep pushing us on every front.
I think I have a solution to all of these problems.
What's that?
RMR Mechanical. They've done a great work for us in the past and have a great safety record, too. They almost always beat the schedule.
Sounds like this meeting is over.
RMR Mechanical. The only name you need to know for an economical, quick, and safe boiler outage. Phone 770-205-9646 or visit us on the web at rmrmechanical.com. The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. Jim titled the column, Management, Sex, and Mayhem, Part 3. And here's what Jim has to say about that. In my nearly 50 years in the business world, I've learned that both sexes do an amazing job of fantasizing what members of the opposite sex think of them or how they interact with them. These daydreams are often quite detailed and often R-rated. There's only one problem with them. They are false vignettes that have nothing to do with reality. Members of both sexes, but it appears in men more than women, often act on these fantasies. They approach a coworker with the intent of taking their fantasy to the next level, reality. In a setting where there are no other obligations, this can result in a slap in the face, or worse, brings the fantasizer back to reality very quickly. In a work setting where the target works for the fantasizer, works in the same general group as the fantasizer, or even works for the same company, fantasy becomes harassment very quickly. These are dangerous and often illegal situations. The fantasizer can be sued, fired, or in extreme cases, perhaps even jailed. Such situations were the root cause of the Me Too movement. What is the test to determine if you are in a destructive set of conditions as I have described above? It's very simple. Ask yourself if all that is occurring is being done to spin your company's invoice printer in a legal, moral, and ethical manner. For if during working hours, and I'll add even after working hours, but involving people with whom you work, anything not being done in a manner where the ultimate goal is to spin your company's invoice printer in a legal, moral, and ethical manner, you're in trouble already, or about to be in trouble. Human passions and attractions are very, very strong. You can end up in a situation that is completely unprofessional and leading to a career and personal disaster quickly. You can even justify it to yourself as being, quote, special or, quote, no one else understands. There was a famous case a few years ago of a governor of a state in the southeastern United States who decided his dalliance with a woman from South America, I think it was Argentina, was the most amazing, special, you wouldn't understand relationship in the history of the universe. It, of course, ended as a complete disaster. You may get lucky and only be fired from your job. Of course, you will need to explain that to your spouse, children, parents, friends, and future employers. Good luck with the 3 or 4 years of your life it takes to straighten all that out. There are more subtle situations that don't end up consuming the entire neighborhood in flames. You may take advantage of coworkers, and they may play along for fear of losing their own jobs. You have put them in a difficult situation, and if you are a decent human being, you'll find a way to break it off. It is just possible you have created a situation where you are looking forward every day to go to work in order to be near the target of your fantasy. Have you thought that your target may be dreading coming to work for exactly the same reasons, that is, because of the situation you created? You are blind to the environment of your own making, blithely going along thinking the world is great. The other person is wondering what they did to deserve this treatment, and how to get out of this situation. As I stated earlier, this seems to be largely a hostile world created by men, with only a few women adopting the, shall we say, stalker attributes. So, men, I challenge you to look at the situations around you, and if you think there is any possibility you have been the author of such a disaster, fix it properly and professionally now. For safety this week, we'll keep harping on it. Destructive thinking, and what I have described here is distracted thinking of the highest order. Distracted thinking leads to accidents. That is all you need on top of the rest of this mess you have created, an accident. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.